بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له، ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. Inshallah, my respected brothers and elders, last week we concluded the chapter of Babul Hubbi Fillah, Babul Fadl al-Hubbi Fillah, the virtues and the significance and the importance of loving each other for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the heart of the Muslim needs to be a place of softness, needs to be a place of affection, needs to be a place of forgiveness. Like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, Al-Mu'minu Ma'lafun, that the mu'min, the believer, is a place of love. وَلَا خَيْرَ فِي مَنْ لَا يَأْلَفْ لَا يُؤْلَفْ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ, that there's no goodness in someone who does not love others and is not loved by others. So the affection is not reciprocated. So the affection has to be there, that a person feels warmth, comfort, feels welcome, feels loved in the presence of that person. This is a very important quality that every single Muslim we need to bring into our lives. So this next chapter, Imam Nawawi rahimahullah brings a very important chapter. باب علامات حب الله تعالى العبد والحث على التخلق بها والسعي في تحصيلها. The chapter which discusses the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's love for his servant. How do you know that Allah ta'ala loves someone? It's a very important chapter. والحث على التخلق بها, and those qualities which are required for a person, or which are indicative and signs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves a person, and how we should make an effort to bring those qualities into our lives. Is bab ke andar Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi wo hadith ahadith zikr farmayenge jinke andar Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala jab banda se razi ho jata hai, banda se muhabbat karta hai, to uski kya alamat hai, kya nishani hai. To ye hadith inshallah batayenge, ye alamat batayenge is bab ke andar. قال الله تبارك وتعالى أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل إن كنتم تحبون الله فاتبعوني يحببكم الله ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم والله غفور رحيم وقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا من يرتد منكم عن دينه فسوف يأتي الله بقوم يحبهم ويحبونه أذلة على المؤمنين أعزة على الكافرين يجاهدون في سبيل الله ولا يخافون لومة لائم ذلك فضل الله يؤتيه من يشاء والله واسع عليم. So two ayat Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi has mentioned. First ayat, I'll just translate, I'll do the tarjama in Urdu and then I'll explain and translate and explain in English. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala irshad farmate hain ke Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, tum logon ko bata do کہ اگر تم اللہ سبحانہ و تعالی سے محبت رکھتے ہو یا محبت رکھنے کا دعویٰ کرتے ہو فتبعونی, تو میری اتباع کرو, میری پیروی کرو, میرے بتائے ہوئے طریقوں پر چلو. یحببکم اللہ, اللہ سبحانہ و تعالی تم سے محبت کریں گے. ویغفر لکم ذنوبکم, اور اللہ سبحانہ و تعالی تمہارے گناہوں کو معاف فرما دیں گے. واللہ غفور الرحیم, اور اللہ سبحانہ و تعالی بہت ہی زیادہ معاف کرنے والا, رحم فرمانے والا ہے. So this ayat is a very important ayat. This is the pinnacle, or this is the what do they call it? Yardstick with which we measure how much love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has for us and how much we love Allah ta'ala. What's the yardstick with which we measure, or the measuring stick with which we measure a person's love for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? The adherence to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this ayah is the key to all of this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is stating in the Holy Quran that say, if you love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, meaning Allah ta'ala is telling Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, say to the believers that if you claim to love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَاتَّبِعُونِي, then follow me. Adopt my ways, follow my ways. يُحْبِبُكُمُ اللَّهُ, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love you. وَيَغْفِرْ لَكُمْ ذُنُوبَكُمْ, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive your sins. Wallahu ghafurur rahim. So two very important qualities or two very important gifts, we can say, from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, just by loving Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If a person can build this quality of love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam into the heart, this is something the entirety of our deen revolves around, the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And if we see how the pious predecessors gave their lives for the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, subhanAllah, the love they had for Rasulullah and anything associated with Rasulullah, the love they had for Madinatul Munawwara, the love they had for the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I just saw my Ustaz Mufti Inayatullah Sahib the other day, when I think you wanted to, I forgot to mention to you, my Ustaz Mufti Inayatullah Sahib has been diagnosed with Parkinson's illness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give him shifa. And I hadn't seen him in a while, so we went to see him, and we were praying Salah, Isha Salah, and then Muhtasab was at the front, so I didn't see him. And afterwards when he was praying his sunnah, he was shivering so much in his sunnahs. I was shocked because we hadn't seen him like this. And it's just like his body was just totally, like he was not in control of his body. But then later after the Salah, it was the dars, the ta'aleem, he gives his ta'aleem every Saturday. So he sat down to deliver his ta'aleem, and 1 hour ta'aleem he sat like this. And the whole time his body was shaking, and you can tell he was probably in so much pain and so much discomfort, but he sat in the way that he sits, according to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That when the angel Jibreel alayhi wa sallam came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَأَسْنَدَ رُكْبَتَيْهِ إِلَى رُكْبَتَيْهِ, they sat with the knees touching each other. So the ulama mentioned, this is how Rasulullah was sitting sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and this is how the angel Jibreel alayhi wa sallam was sitting. He sat like this the entire 1 hour, and I was watching him shivering. And obviously it's not, this illness is such that it puts a strain on your body as well as on your voice and your speech. So obviously so much energy is being consumed, but still, you know, this importance that he gives to the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the ulama of past, mashallah, we still have, alhamdulillah, we still have examples present amongst us of ulama who are so punctual with the following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some of these sunnahs we should never, you know, every single sunnah is so important. We should never underestimate any single sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And all of the pious people they mention, that anyone who gets close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gets close to Allah ta'ala only by following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Allah ta'ala is mentioning here, because in this chapter Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi is going to mention the signs of how do you know that Allah ta'ala loves the servant. Allah Ta'ala gives him or her the tawfiq to follow in the sunnah of his beloved sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in return for that, what does Allah Ta'ala do? Firstly, Allah Ta'ala loves that servant, and secondly, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives all the sins of that servant as well. So it's such an important thing. Allama Busiri rahmatullahi alayhim, when he wrote his Qasida Burda, and that Qasida Burda is something worth reading, it's worth studying. And you see so much love of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so much love. And in there he mentions that, Ya Allah, my sins are, you know, so overwhelming. And I always do tawbah and I always return back to sin. But one thing I know for sure is that I love Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is the only thing which I am bringing to you. And the Sahabi radiallahu anhu who came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, Ya Rasulullah, I have very little a'mal, very few deeds. But one thing I know for sure is that I love you. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Anta ma'a man ahbabta. On the day of Qiyamah, you will be raised in the gathering of those people that you used to love. So this is the most important sign of a person that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives them the ability to follow in the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Some sunnahs are easier to do. And sometimes congregational sunnahs, when we're in the company of other people, they're also quite easy to do. But the infiradi sunnahs many times can be quite difficult. And especially the ones, for example, I'll give you a simple sunnah. Going to sleep every night after performing wudu. Sounds like a very easy thing. And you know, in the early days they had taps and they had to go far away, get the water, and they had to then, you know, perform the wudu, come home. Now we have sink less than a meter from our bedroom probably. But shaitan makes it so burdensome. Shaitan puts such a burden upon ourselves in following that sunnah. Why? Because the more important and the more precious a sunnah is, the more difficult shaitan makes it for us. Mawlana Hussain Ahmad Madani rahmatullahi alayhi, he used to say that there was a time in my life, in his 20s, he said there was a time where I just made the firm azam, and I made the firm kind of pledge with myself, from now on I will never ever sleep without doing wudu. And he said, from that day, Allah Ta'ala ne mujh par itne futuhat farmaye ki main aapko bata nahi sakta. Meaning, after that day, what Allah Ta'ala spiritually opened up for me, I can't tell you. Since the day I made that firm intention that I will never sleep without wudu. Hasan Basri rahmatullahi alayhi is mentioned about him that one night he woke, his sleep broke 70 times. Sometimes you have bad nights, sleepless, restless nights. His sleep broke 70 times. Every time he did fresh wudu and back to sleep. They used to see the value of this, the importance of these sunnahs. So some sunnahs are, when you make a habit of it, it's easier to do. Some sunnahs, shaitan puts such a bojh on you. The sunnah of tahajjud salah, the sunnah of going to sleep with wudu. You know, all of these sunnahs we need to, each and every single sunnah, we need to study them, implement them, bring them into our lives. Each of them is filled with so many blessings and barakat. Before doing wudu, there's a dua, Allahumma ghfir li dhanbi wa wassi' li fi dari wa barik li fi rizqi. We met this brother in Jamaat once, and mashallah, he's very well blessed. Allah Ta'ala blessed him with a lot of wealth and this and that. So someone said, what's the secret for this? You're always in the path of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. When do you get the time to do business and this and that? He said, I know the secret why Allah has given me all of this. He said, because whenever I do wudu, I read this dua and I make the intention that whatever Allah Ta'ala has promised in this dua, I make the intention that Allah is definitely going to give it to me. Allahumma ghfir li dhanbi, O Allah, forgive my sins. Wa wassi' li fi dari, O Allah, make spacious my home. Wa barik li fi rizqi, O Allah, grant me blessings in my rizq, in my sustenance. He said, so I made this firm intention, and I know that I have this conviction, yaqeen in my heart, that because of this punctuality with this dua and this adherence to this dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is opening the doors up for me. So you know, it's yaqeen and following the sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So this ayah has been brought previously, Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi mentions. And then the next ayah, waqala ta'ala, Allah ta'ala mentions, ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu man yartadda minkum an deenihi. O you who have brought iman, مَنْ يَرْتَدَّ مِنْكُمْ عَنْ دِينِهِ whomsoever apostates from his religion, leaves his deen, turns away from his deen. فَسَوْفَ يَأْتِ اللَّهُ بِقَوْمٍ, meaning whomsoever leaves Islam, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will surely bring a group of people, يُحِبُّهُمْ, who Allah loves them, وَيُحِبُّونَهُ, and they love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, أَذِلَّةٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ, they are very soft and humble when it comes to dealing with the believers, a'izzatin 'ala al-kafirin, and they are very stern and strict when it comes to dealing with the disbelievers. Yujahiduna fi sabilillahi, they strive in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wala yakhafuna lawmata la'im, they do not fear the criticism of the criticizers. Dhalika fadlullah yu'tihi man yasha, this is the grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he grants to whoever he wants. The bounty of Allah ta'ala that he gives to whoever he wants. Wallahu wasi'un alim, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the most is the one who grants the most bounties. Alimun, he is the most knowledgeable. So this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and to the ummah that some ulama mentioned that this is a prediction of the future, that a time will come when some people will leave Islam. But when these people leave Islam, it's not going to make any difference to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why even in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, three main tribes from the Arabs, they left Islam. And after they left Islam, it was a great fitna. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed away, one of the and these tribes left Islam because their chiefs claimed prophethood. They did the da'wah of Nubuwwat, they claimed prophethood. One of them was Aswad al-Anasi of the Banu Mudlij tribe. And then there was Musaylama Kadhab of the Banu Hanifa tribe. And then there was one more, Tulayha of another tribe. So these three tribes, they left Islam. And in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, this fitna started, and Rasulullah had heard about this, had received the news that these three tribes had left Islam and these people are claiming prophethood. Aswad al-Anasi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it such that there was this very pious Muslim man whose name was Fayruz. He was Iranian, Fayruz, and he used to live in the vicinity, in the district, in the neighborhood of Aswad al-Anasi. And one day this Fayruz went and he killed Aswad al-Anasi. And this was just one or two days before Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left the dunya. Jibreel alayhi salam brought the news to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah at the moment in time was lying on his bed and he was very unwell. And Rasulullah smiled and he said, Faza Fayruz. Fayruz is successful. Fayruz kamyab ho gaya. And then the Sahaba said, who's Fayruz? Ya Rasulullah. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the person who has killed Aswad al-Anasi. And a few days after Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left the dunya, the news officially reached Medina Munawwara that Aswad al-Anasi has been killed. And then there was Musaylama Kadhab. This man had the audacity to write a letter to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One is to claim that you're a prophet and you know you're not a prophet. And then you have the audacity to write a letter to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, min Musaylamah na'udhu billah Rasulillah ila Muhammad Rasulillah. And then in that he mentions that innal arda nisfuha li wa nisfuha lak, Allah Ta'ala has made the earth half of it for me and half of it for you. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wrote back, min Muhammad Rasulillah ila Musaylamah al-Kadhdhab, from Muhammad the messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to Musaylamah the liar. إِنَّ الْأَرْضَ قَالَ اللَّهُ تَبَارَكَ وَتَعَالَى إِنَّ الْأَرْضَ لِلَّهِ يُورِثُهَا مِنْ يَشَاءُ مِنْ عِبَادِهِ. That the land belongs to Allah Ta'ala. Who are you to claim that you have authority over the land? So this man, you know, he had such a great fitna he caused. When the time of Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, Allah Ta'ala through Sayyidina Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu quenched this fitna of apostasy. Musaylamah and then many others came. Anyway, so in this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about there might be people who leave their deen. But this shouldn't bother anyone. Because the reality is, it's Allah ta'ala's deen. And Allah ta'ala himself has taken responsibility for protecting his deen. The same way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken responsibility for protecting his Qur'an, safeguarding his deen, safeguarding the sha'air of his deen. The signs of Allah's deen, this is Allah's responsibility. So a person should never, you know, sometimes it's very important to have fikr of the ummah. Very, very important. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's heart used to burn with the fikr of ummah. But our people sometimes talk so much about this is going wrong in the world. But the reality is in our own lives there is so much weakness and lack of following the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the deen. But we spend hours and hours and hours talking about this country, this problem, that problem. So the fikr is very important, but you know we should focus on our maqsad and our motive. Our Ustaz Mufti Inayatullah Sahib Hafizullah used to always mention that Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran, Ya ayyuhal ladhina amanu attaqullaha wa kunu ma'a sadiqin. O you who have brought iman, fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and stay with the pious people. He said from this ayah, because we know the Quran is here to stay, from this ayah we understand that there will always be salihin. There will always be pious people. That because to bring the reality of taqwa and piety of Allah into your heart, you need to stay in the suhbat, the company of the pious people. So we understand Allah Ta'ala will always have pious people who are present upon the earth. You have to go and find them. You have to make an effort to find them. You have to stay in their company. So Allah Ta'ala has taken, Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala will protect his deen, Allah Ta'ala will protect his Qur'an. We need to focus on preparing for our own akhirah. Allah Ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, وَلَا تَزِرُوا وَازِرَةٌ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى. Nobody is going to carry the burdens of anybody else. It's going to be your burdens that you're going to carry. So the problem, the reason I'm mentioning all of this is because our people have the habit, we come to the masjid, we read 5 times salah. We fast in the month of Ramadan. But somebody does something wrong, some madrasa, some institute, some person, something. We've always got something to say, like we're the biggest muslih. We're the biggest rectifier. Isko durus bi kallunga, isko bi durus kallunga, isko bi durus kallunga. I will correct everybody. And myself, in the meantime, you know, what's the ayat of the Quran? The ones who do fasad upon the earth, and they say, "Nahnu innama ana min al-muslihin." They cause the corruption upon the earth, and then they say, "We're just fixing everybody's problems." The reality is, they're causing the biggest problems. This is a big fitna now. And anyone who starts reading 5 times salah, starts coming to the masjid, starts growing his beard, starts wearing the jubbah, feels qualified to then say, this is wrong with that person, that's wrong with this person, this is wrong with this country, that's wrong with this king, that's wrong with this imam, that's wrong with this sheikh. And everybody's criticizing. So it's very important that we focus on ourselves. Allah Ta'ala is saying Allah will bring a group of people who Allah will love them and they will love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one of their qualities will be أَذِلَّةٍ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. When it comes to dealing with other believers, they'll be very soft and affectionate. And this is one of the main ingredients of the Muslim, that he is very soft, very loving, very affectionate, very humble. This is what أَذِلَّة means, ذَلِيل. ذَلِيل, normally say ذَلِيل, disgraced. What it means that he lowers himself in such a manner in front of a Muslim that the Muslim can stamp on top of him. Sheikh Fadl Rahim Sahib Rahmatullahi Ali from Oldham used to say, once he gave an example, he said, agar koi kala habshi idhar aa jaye aur mujhe zameen par litaye aur us apna pair mere sar ke upar rakhe aur mujhe is tarah lita ke rakhe, main udhar hi leta jaunga, main hilunga nahi. And he was saying it as in a context of how low you have to regard yourself to be, that if somebody comes in and does something to you, it shouldn't faze you. When Hussein Ahmad Madani rahmatullahi alayhi, he came out of Masjid al-Nabawi once, and in Masjid al-Nabawi, you know, many times it's chapels and shoes everywhere. He came out of Masjid al-Nabawi and somebody had straightened his shoes, and they'd put it like this. So he came and said, who is this that straightened my shoes? Someone said, Sheikh, where's me? Obviously, I wanted to make it comfortable for you. Can you come out, put your shoes on? He said, where's your shoes? So the person said, this is my shoes. He took the person's shoes and he put them on his head. And he started running away. Hazrat Madani, rahmatullahi alayhi. The person is going red. He's shocked. Hazrat, what are you doing? You're putting my shoes on your head. Hazrat said, promise me. Ke tu kabhi aainde mein Hussain Ahmed ki juta sahi nahi karega. That you will durust nahi karega. Promise me that you will never in the future fix my shoes and put them like this. Only then am I going to put your shoes on the ground. So this is how low they used to. You know, when the riots were happening in India at that time, the partition between India and Pakistan, and before that, all the riots that were happening. Sometimes, Mawlana Hussain Ahmad Madani rahmatullahi used to be on the train, and then you had people who used to have a different political opinion, and they used to say, that's Hussain Ahmad Madani. That once, Hazrat Madani rahmatullahi was sitting with his friends and colleagues. And the opposition people were there. They came, someone was pulling at his jubba, someone threw his turban off, and they were shouting at him, they were swearing at him, and they're saying, it's because of you, this and this, this. And his colleagues were getting so angry and so frustrated. He said, leave them, it's okay. And they just kept on doing it as long as they wanted. They shouted, they swore, they did whatever they had to do, and then they went. And then he said, kya ho gaya? Whatever they did before, I was still myself, and after they finished doing whatever they did, I'm still myself. So this is the reality of how low a person has to become. It's very hard. It's very hard. مَن تَوَاضَعَ لِلَّهِ رَفَعَهُ اللَّهِ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ said, however low you make yourself, that's how high you are in the sight of Allah. جِتْنَا نِيچے پست اپنے آپ کو کر سکتے ہو اتنا اونچا اور بلند اللہ تعالیٰ کے نزدیک انسان ہوتا ہے. سیدنا عمر رضی اللہ عنہ used to say, مَن تَوَاضَعَ لِلَّهِ رَفَعَهُ اللَّهِ فَهُوَ فِي عَيْنِهِ صَغِيرٌ وَفِي أَعْيُنِ النَّاسِ كَبِيرٌ وَمَنْ تَكَبَّرَ وَضَعَهُ اللَّهِ فَهُوَ فِي عَيْنِهِ كَبِيرٌ وَفِي أَعْيُنِ النَّاسِ صَغِيرٌ حَتَّى لَهُوَ أَهْوَنُ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ كَلْبٍ وَخِنْزِيرٍ. That Sayyidina Umar رضي الله عنه used to say, whoever lowers himself for the sake of Allah, Allah Ta'ala elevates him. But whoever thinks that he is something special, then he, in his own eyes, he's deluded. But in the eyes of the people, he's so low that he becomes more badtar, more worse than a dog or a pig to people. But in his eyes, he thinks of something special. This is the way al-kibriya'u ridai. Allah Ta'ala mentions this kibr, pride is my upper garment. Whoever tries to snatch it away from me, I will throw him into the fire of Jahannam. So a person, we need to be very, very careful. So here, Allah Ta'ala is saying, a'izz adhillatin 'ala al-mu'minin. The quality of the believers is they are very low. When it comes to dealing with other Muslims, they don't care what Muslims do to them. They don't care what another Muslim says to them. They just regard themselves to be zaleel, like nothing. Doesn't matter what my fellow Muslim says to me, I will take it, I will have sabr, it's okay, doesn't matter. But when it comes to dealing with the non-Muslims, again, ulama mentioned this is on the battlefield, otherwise our dealings with non-Muslims on a day-to-day basis should be one of love, affection, so that the akhlaq and the character of Islam is displayed. But on the battlefield, they have the strength, they have the power, but they keep it extremely reserved when it comes to dealing with Muslims. With a Muslim, they don't care if everyone thinks they're weak, if everyone thinks they don't know how to respond, they've got no anger. You know, people say nowadays it's like something to demean you. Or this person doesn't never speaks up, it never gets angry. Phone the takeaway made a mistake, now they delivered something. Phone the takeaway, shout at them, say, oh, why did you make a mistake? You never make a mistake ever again. What's going to happen? They made a mistake. Right? It's a takeaway, they're supplying so much food every single day, all the time. What benefit is it going to be? Punch me to what my phone will take, takeaway collection, don't make fayda kya hoga? Bichara is so busy, he's not going to understand anything you're saying. And then after that, what? Is your all of your anger going to be? So this is the, our people, they think this, you have to do always, stamp your authority everywhere you go. This is totally the opposite understanding that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has left us upon. يُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. I'm just going to do this ayat and inshallah we're going to finish. يُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. One of the qualities of those who love Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah ta'ala loves them is that they strive in the path of Allah. They do jihad in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا يَخَافُونَ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ. Allah ta'ala gives us blessings with all of these qualities. لَا يَخَافُونَ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ. You need to have a lot of himmah, a lot of courage. That they do not fear criticism of criticizers. Sayyidina Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu mentions a very beautiful hadith. Sayyidina Abu Dharr Ghifari radiallahu ta'ala anhu was that companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was very straightforward, very blunt. And whatever Rasulullah had told him, he would not do inhiraf, he would not move away from it by an inch. Anything Rasulullah said is black and white for him. That's when the time of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, Sayyidina Uthman said, oh Abu Dharr, please, just go a little bit away from the city. Because everybody is doing everything and you're finding it hard to digest. Because in the time of Sayyidina Umar, Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhuma, a lot of wealth was coming into Medina. And Sayyidina Abu Dharr used to hate wealth. He couldn't stand wealth. Because Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told me to stay far away from the dunya. What are you people doing? He would go around admonishing the great sahab, why are you building a house which is too... He would measure the distance between his head and the roof. What are you going to do with this much space? If he stood in his house and he would measure the distance between his head, the sahabi's head and the roof, and he would say, what are you doing with this space? What's the purpose of this space? So the sahaba didn't have any answers to this, and the people didn't have any answers to this. So Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu said, look, oh Abu Dharr, it's better that you distance yourself and you just go to somewhere else. So he sent him first to Sham. When he went to Sham, Sayyidina Abu Dharr went there, and then there were problems there. Again, Sayyidina Abu Dharr is correcting everyone. And then Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu anhu sent a letter to Sayyidina Uthman that Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu, unfortunately, you're finding it very hard to follow according to what he wants. Sayyidina Uthman wrote a letter, please return back to Medina. And then he advised him, just go to this place. Sayyidina Abu Dharr happily went there. But anyway, Sayyidina Abu Dharr had so much love for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You see, in his hadith, he mentioned, there's this specification. He always, there's this unique aspect. He always says, Awsani Khalili. My best friend, my closest friend told me to do this. When you talk about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, so in one beautiful hadith, Imam Ahmad rahmatullahi alayhi says, Amarani Khalili bi sab'id. That Rasulullah Sayyidina Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu has mentioned that my Khalil, my best friend, told me to do seven things. And amongst those seven things, one of them was, وَأَلَّا تَخَفِّ اللَّهِ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ. Never, when it comes to speaking the haqq, that وَأَن تَقُولَ الْحَقَّ وَإِن كَانَ مُرًّا وَأَلَّا تَخَافَ فِي اللَّهِ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ. That speak the truth even if the truth sounds bitter, and never fear the criticism of anyone. And that's how he lived his life. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whatever is haqq, I need to say it, do i'lan of it, proclaim it, and not fear the criticism of anyone. And that's how he lived his life. But it's very hard. We have to live with family, we have to live with society, and now we live in one Muslim country. So we have so many, unfortunately, cultural pressures. So obviously there has to be a hikmah. But you know, some people, unfortunately, they conflate between the two. They're scared, they're fearful of speaking the haqq, but they say the wisdom is to stay quiet. Whereas we're fearful. We don't want to say we're fearful, we'd rather say it's wise to stay quiet. Those who understand wisdom will say, but it's best to stay quiet here. But you know the person, he will say it, but he just knows that if I say the haqq right now, it will do more harm than good. But others, now is mashallah, everybody is a da'i calling towards Allah Ta'ala on YouTube and Twitter and Instagram and all of these things. And then they say all mixed messages, and Allah Ta'ala is clearly saying something in the Qur'an, but then they present it in a way which it changes the message of the Qur'an, and they say this is the wisdom. Nothing to do with wisdom. This is because you don't want a backlash. So we can't conflate the two. This quality is very difficult to, this attribute is very difficult to bring into the heart. Only that person has the attribute who truly fears Allah above everybody else. Like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to do the dua, Allahumma ja'al hubbaka ahabbal ashya'i ilayya, wa ja'al khashyataka akhwafal ashya'i indi. Oh Allah, make your fear the most fearful thing for me. Your khashya, nobody else's. That I fear Allah more than anybody else. When a person really has this, then they will only speak the haqq. They can't speak something which is wrong. Because like Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, don't, what's the hadith? Don't disobey the creator when it comes to obeying the creation. لا طاعة لمخلوق في معصية الخالق. There's no obedience to the creation when it comes to disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is the reality that we, you know, these are the qualities that we need to bring into our heart. So Imam Nawawi rahmatullahi alayhi is mentioning this ayah here to show Allah ta'ala is saying here that Allah will bring a group of people. Allah will love them subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they will love Allah ta'ala. And what will be their qualities? Their first quality is that they will be extremely soft, affectionate, humble when it comes to dealing with Muslims. Secondly, they will be extremely firm and strict and stern when it comes to dealing with the disbelievers, like I mentioned, the right times of the battlefield, etc. يُجَاهِدُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ. They will strive in the path of Allah Ta'ala. وَلَا يَخَافُونَ لَوْمَةَ لَائِمٍ. They will never fear the criticism of the criticizers, of the critics. ذَلِكَ فَضْلُ اللَّهِ يُؤْتِيهِ مَنْ يَشَاءُ. This is the bounty of Allah that He gives to whoever He wants. وَاللَّهُ وَاسِعٌ عَلِيمٌ. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is extremely giving. So we translate wasi'un, extremely giving. كَثِيرُ الْفَضْلِ. Is how we translate wasi'un. Wasi'un. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala gives openly, generously. Alimun, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is the most knowledgeable. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us tawfiq and ability to practice upon these few things. Subhanallah, bihamdi, subhanakallahumma, bihamdika, ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.